Okay, well, here we are. I'm not going to be able to do a break or anything. Got a cat crawling up behind me here. I don't know what's going on with him. So let's give me just a second here to straighten things up because I was planning on doing a intro here. So I'm sorry about that. I don't know what's going on with him. But good news is archives, I mean, the recording deal is working again after a couple of months of being down. So, we will be catching the podcast up here immediately, and things are looking up in that regard. I just got to make some adjustments here in the sound, so we'll, no. So we'll just ignore that for tonight, and we'll just dive right in here. So, let's see. All right. Here we are diving right now. Okay. All right. I don't know. I'm gonna put my headset on. I don't know if it's making any difference or not, but I'll put it on here just in case. Now, I'm gonna start out here with a couple of patriotic things. One of them, first off, let me go over here and see just what the sound does sound like. Pumpkin cat's dryer is buzzing. I thought it was me buzzing, so good. I'm glad that's done. So how's the sound? Is anybody, did anything change when I put my headset on or, this is going to be kind of a goofy recording for the podcast, but it is what it is. So just have to deal with it. I don't know what kind of a delay we have tonight. It changes from time to time. So, as of right now, I don't know if you guys can hear me at all. I haven't gotten a response back yet, so let me type this in there and see what's going on. And we're waiting. According to the little bouncing lights, oh, wait a minute. No, it's, maybe that makes a difference. Okay. All right, let me ask again. Is that any better? 5x5. Thank you, Doc. Okay, let's get on with it. First off, thank you, Doc. That's good to know. I'll get the music and stuff straightened up here hopefully before Wednesday. But we're getting the meat and potatoes here anyway. All right, Arizona, there's a bill being proposed here in Arizona as of about a week ago that would require students to pay to say the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, some people may applaud this and say that's a wonderful thing. It's about time. It is not about time. It is not a wonderful thing. This is every bit as bad as not allowing the Pledge of Allegiance. A forced pledge is not a pledge at all. Number one is the whole deal here is your First Amendment rights. To be forced to say this is very much akin to communism. And I don't know what I would do. If I was in school and this happened in my school, I would really be torn. As to, yes, I know I should say it. I want to, maybe I'll say it at home to make up for it. But if they said I had to, I probably wouldn't. Because this is absolutely wrong. Representative Republican, is introducing this, incidentally. John Fillmore here in Arizona. And, it requires the students to recite the pledge each morning unless a parent excuses them. So that, why do I have noise going on here? Okay, noise. I command thee, stop. It worked. How about that? Okay, now the next thing I want to do. Sorry, I can't kill my mic to clear my throat, so you're just gonna have to live with it tonight. This is from a lawyer in Snowflake, Arizona. And the typical, pretty much universal, sentiment towards lawyers is that, they are, you know, liars, underhanded, no down, low down, you know, nobody likes lawyers, all kinds of lawyer jokes out there. But I can tell you that I know a couple of them here and one in New Mexico, two in New Mexico, that are very much do not fit into that category. This one right here, I've only met him once. And he sent out a really nice, he's never been my lawyer. He was a lawyer for someone else that I knew, and we went did a consultation with them and everything. And that's how they got to know us, but we have never used him. But we get a Christmas card every year from this guy, a really nice card that explains in great detail what has been going on in their life since the last year with their kids and their business and everything else. Okay. We read it, but it's not terribly interesting to me because I don't even know that. Like I said, I met him once. But he had something different in his card this year. I'm going to read it to you. It's kind of long, but I need to read it to you. Remember, this is coming. This is from the lawyer's mouth. He didn't quote the, I mean, it's not a quote from an article or a speech or anything like that. This is, I take that back. The biggest part of this is actually a quote from a speech from Calvin Coolidge. I was wrong about that. But nevertheless, this guy took the time to put this into his newsletter, into his Christmas card. And let's see, stand by just a minute, because this is, let's see, it's been each time, okay, yeah, it will become obvious here. I was wrong again. Most of this actually is his. There's a little quote in here by Andrew Jackson, a little bit by Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, and that part by Calvin Coolidge. But about half of it is from this lawyer's mouth. So now that we have all that out of the way, let me read it to you. He says, as a final thought, with an election year approaching and endless corruption around us on both sides of the aisle, I wish to take a minute and offer my thoughts. For those of you not aware, we have been homeschooling our kids for 4 years. Our focus this year is on patriotism and an in-depth study of the Constitution and the Founding Fathers. It has been amazing to learn about the founders' original intent in the drafting of the documents and to read of the personal sacrifices each of them made to provide this great nation to us. It was so much more than parties and politics. It was a labor of love and oftentimes a sacrifice of life by those seeking true freedom. From among other things, tyranny, oppression, and unfair taxation. So what are my thoughts? One, study the Constitution. Get informed, get involved, and vote for candidates who, regardless of party, will uphold the original values upon which this nation was founded. Two, consider the fact that this nation was founded on God and morality, and it is only in recent generations which have twisted these truths. As stated by President George Washington, quote, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principles. And, unquote. And, quote, it is impossible to govern the world without the Bible, end quote. Or President Abraham Lincoln, quote, God rules this world. It is the duty of nations as well as men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God. to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, and to recognize the sublime truth that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. Unquote. And, quote, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. End quote. And finally, by President Andrew Jackson, quote, the Bible is the rock on which this nation rests, Owing to righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That part's from Proverbs. 3, remember that government is never authorized to do things which would be illegal for you to do. If it is illegal for you to do, it should be illegal for government to do. For example, can you demand money from your neighbor to buy yourself a car, a phone, or even to buy food? Of course not. That's stealing. Yet why then is it legal for a group of people to form a government and then authorize that government to demand people's money, then give that money away to others to buy a car, a phone, or even food? Think on that for a while. Then think about the trillions of dollars taken in taxes by the government each year and given away. Our government was originally funded for our protection, not socialism. Let the people, quote, let the people be voluntarily charitable, not forced philanthropists, end quote. That was from Brendan Rogers. 4, we do not need more material development. We need more spiritual development. We do not need more intellectual war. And I'm sorry, we do not need more intellectual power. We need more moral power. We do not need more knowledge. We need more character. We do not need more government. We need more culture. We do not need more law. We need more religion. We do not need more of the things that are seen. We need more of the things that are unseen. It is on that side of life that it is desirable to put the emphasis at the present time. If that side is strengthened, the other side will take care of itself. It is that side which is the foundation of all else. If the foundation be firm, the superstructure will stand. That part was by President Calvin Coolidge. And 5, educate yourselves, then your friends and family, and then cast your votes in the 2020 election for the people that can begin to right those wrongs. Coming from a lawyer, I'll have to say I am most impressed. I think I'm going to save this. I think that is a wonderful little thing. I'll probably share that from time to time. I really like that. All right. Well, let me bounce over here back where we're at. Take a look at the chat room. Thank you, Yakima Glock, Punkin' Cat. Good deal. All right. Yeah, Doc, I assume you're talking about the Pledge of Allegiance. Yes, that's exactly the same thing with prayers, if that's what you're talking about. They should not be forced. Okay, there is a new petition out. I don't know if you guys have seen this. It came out 4 days ago, a petition to impeach Pelosi for treason. Already has, well, as of 4 days ago, I don't know what it is now. Let me refresh this and see if we get a new number here. As of 4 days ago, it had 288,000 signatures. All right, it didn't refresh. The story's not any different here. I wonder if there's any place on here I can click and see if that number has changed. Doesn't look like it. I could probably find it somewhere. But anyway, as of 4 years ago, it had accumulated 288,000 signatures. So this, there's an initiative here is about the impeachment of Pelosi, supported by 288,565 people, was created by a woman in Georgia named Marjorie Greene on the, say again? Who's going to commit suicide? Oh, yeah. Amy said she's going to commit suicide. That could, that very well could be. Yep. Okay. This initiative argues that Pelosi helps enemies such as illegal aliens. They invade our country with drugs, human trafficking. It also points to terrorists causing death and crime to American citizens. This petition was created on the 18th of January, so it's almost a year old. But nevertheless, it has 288,000 signatures on it. That's good. The impeachment hearings don't seem to be going very well. The Democrats just consistently losing ground here. The whole thing is just so dumb. In the back of my mind, I still kind of hope they're successful in getting this before the Senate. Because, as I said the other day, when they are able to do that, they will be able to subpoena any human being on this planet that's willing to come and testify. And obviously it doesn't matter about any human being on the planet, but it matters that they can call anybody. So they can call, you know, the Clintons, Pelosi, the whole nine, you know, anybody. These people will be under oath, and I fully suspect that if this happens, that heads will roll, probably more than one. I've got a sound bite here I wanted to, part of a newscast I wanted to play for you, but since I think my sound is kind of screwed up, I'll wait and I'll save that till Wednesday. So we'll let that go for now. In Vermont, there's a lawmaker there that's wanting to introduce a bill that will ban the carry of semi-automatic firearms. He's trying to make it where you can't carry anything but a single shot or revolver. I suppose it applies to rifles too. I don't know. But the bill said, this guy said if his bill, his name's Phil Baruth, something like that, Baruth, said that if his bill is passed, it would ban gun owners from carrying in parks, stores, restaurants, airports, places of worship, auditoriums, theaters, child care facilities, and in public during political demonstrations. So that really narrows it down to where you can carry it all. Said everybody's sort of conditioned to accept the fact that in public people are going to carry weapons that are designed to kill large numbers of human beings. Retard. Gun owners will still be allowed to carry auto-loading pistols and other semi-auto firearms in downtown areas and on public streets, and they would also be permitted to carry single-shot and single-action firearms in those areas that prohibit semi-autos. So if you want to carry a single-shot into a large group of people that are potentially hostile, that's okay. You just can't carry a semi-automatic. He says, I don't think we've reached a consensus on banning assault weapons, but I do think we've reached a consensus that we don't want them in public square. I don't know who he's reached this consensus with, but apparently he believes that all semi-automatic weapons are assault weapons. And apparently he's not the only one in the legislature that has that opinion. Another one, he's a Democrat, and here's another Democrat, says it's hard to argue why you need to carry an assault weapon at a football game. Another Democrat, I think generally speaking, people would acknowledge that the places you just described are not the ones that probably are appropriate for people to bring assault weapons to. And then there's some Republicans in there that, you know, they're just saying that it's not going to pass and all that. So we'll see. it'll be interesting for sure. So I'm going to come back to that one. As a matter of fact, I'm going to move that to the end. And if we have time, we'll do it. I'm going to move this to the end, almost to the end. If we have time, we'll do that. And now, this is apparently true. And I don't have any problems with this. Not because it's about homosexuals. It's about U.S. embassies and what is appropriate behavior. The Trump administration now has banned, you know, through there for a while, it was legal to have, when was it, about a year ago, a year and a half ago or something like that, that somebody put a rainbow flag up on a U.S. embassy and then it kind of caught on and a few others did as well. Well, Trump has banned rainbow flags above U.S. embassies. This was, oh, it was Obama's. Yeah, that's right. It was Obama's policy. It was more than, it was, what, 3 years ago, I guess. So why should or should not that be okay? Well, it is not in the appropriate place. U.S. embassies probably is not the place to fly the stars and bars, probably not the place to fly the Gadsden flag, even though we agree with everything, that's just not, I don't think, is the appropriate place for that. Those two flags would probably be a little more appropriate than the rainbow flag, but the rainbow flag or those other ones have absolutely nothing to do with business that's carried on there. They should have nothing there but the United States flag, possibly a POW flag, something like that. I don't see, you know, anything that has to do with the subject or the I guess context, maybe in the context of what happens at that particular embassy, the country that it's in, and all of that. So it has nothing to do, although I am very much opposed to the whole queer thing. The reason that flag should not be flown is the same reason that a number of flags should not be flown there over a U.S. embassy. I just don't think it's appropriate. But anyway, as of, what did I say? I was trying to look for a date here that Obama put that into effect, but anyway. All right. Onwards and upwards. Let's see if they're not quite break time yet. However, let me slip this in before the break and, then we'll, go do something else here. This was in Florida. The cops broke into, now the headlines are a little bit misleading. Not much, but a little bit. It says, cops break into an innocent sleeping woman's home, shoot her, and now she's facing life in prison. Well, what happened here, I mean, the whole thing was wrong, and it was the cops' fault. What happened was a disgruntled ex-boyfriend had called the cops on her saying that she had threatened suicide by cop and, you know, had enough guns to start a revolution and all this stuff. He was just trying to get back at her for running him off. Well, she did not have, all it takes is one gun to start a revolution. We saw that at the beginning of World War I, but, she had two. She had two handguns, both of them were within arm's reach of her where she was sleeping. So this guy convinced the cops that they needed to do a welfare check. Well, apparently they decided they needed the whole SWAT team to go do a welfare check instead of sending, you know, a couple of uniforms over there to knock on the door and say, ma'am, are you doing okay? They go over there at in the middle of the night. Let's see, it said what time it was. The girl was 49 years old. Her name was Bobby Sapp. And looks like it was early in the morning and she was still asleep. But anyway, the cops come in, broke the door down, didn't knock, and they admitted that after they went in there that they did not announce that they, after they were inside, they did not announce that they were police. They reached down and pulled the covers off of her. And of course she woke up, panicked, you know, armed men in her room. And I don't care who you are and how tuned up you are to wake up, you know, to wake up 100%. I mean, to wake up, be 100% in 1 second generally is not going to happen. That's why, as I recall, when I was in the service, I think you had something like 30 or 45 seconds if someone was to touch you and wake you up, like say grab you by the collar, you know, yank the blanket off of you, whatever, that you had a certain amount of time that you were not responsible for your actions. So if the second lieutenant came and grabbed you by the shoulder and woke you up and you knocked him on his butt, well, you could claim that this was in that certain amount of time. Or claim that you were not responsible for your actions. Now, I don't know what that time was or even if that's true or not, but that's what I heard the whole time I was in the Army. So to get back to the story here, she had no idea what was happening. So she grabbed a gun and pointed it at a cop. Now, understandably, if you're a cop and you get a gun pointed at you, you're probably going to shoot back. You know, right, wrong, or indifferent, that's just the way it's going to happen. She had been tased and apparently that wasn't completely effective. And so anyway, she is charged now with multiple felonies and may wind up spending the rest of her life in jail if she doesn't have a good attorney here. Why was this the cop's fault? Well, this is right here. This is the epitome of what red flag laws will do. Because this guy came in out of the clear blue sky here and said, well, she's, hey, copper, good to see you in here again. So this guy comes in out of nowhere and says that she's a threat to herself and probably other people and is armed. The cops just take that for granted, take it as the truth, and bust in there like she's about ready to do something stupid when she's actually sleeping. They probably could have called her and got done what they needed to do. But, excuse me just a minute. I don't know how loud this is going to be. Remember, my sound is messed up, so stand by just a second. All right. I'm sorry about that. I will get this sound fixed. I'm making progress. Like I said, I got the recording going, so that's one good thing. All right, let me find my story here again. There we go. The Tebow said he didn't hear about this in his part of Florida, but I did look at a couple of other publications in Florida, and they did cover it there. So it's a real and happening thing. The girl is the woman, 46 years old, 49 years old. Since she didn't have her glasses on, she's legally blind. I couldn't identify anybody, but I remember there being shadows, figures standing in my room. They pulled the covers off of me. At that point, when she pulled the cover, Miss Sapp immediately came up with a handgun and pointed it right at us. Is what they. And why did they pull the covers off? Why couldn't they? What was the purpose for that? They trying to see her in her nightie or what? They could have. They had full advantage. They could have woke her up some other manner and, let her get her thoughts together a little bit. She disputes that she ever pointed a gun. And it says, I think I read here, I'd have to read the whole story again, but I think it read that this department did not have body cams because it was too expensive. So this would have been a good time to have them, because if this woman wins, that's probably going to be a lot cheaper just to get body cams next time. But, oh yeah, by the way, they did shoot her once. They shot her once in the shoulder, in the left shoulder, I think it was. One shoulder or the other. And, she was tased. And all that before they, got her out of there. So she could be charged with, attempted first degree murder of a law enforcement officer with a firearm. Two counts of that. Aggravated assault on a law enforcement officer with a deadly weapon, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon 3 times, and resisting officer with violence. So, this whole thing just stinks to high heaven. I mean, there were so many other things they could have done to handle this a little bit differently. So, let's see here. Excuse me for doing that in your ear there. Yeah, Doc, I agree. In some hostage situations, yeah, I get it. And there may be a few others where it's okay to do dynamic no-knock raids, you know. But in this particular case, there was absolutely no reason, no excuse whatsoever. This is the peril of red flag laws. This is, for all intents and purposes, that's what this was. Okay. Well, I can't do a break, so we're just going to continue to march here. I thought I was going to do a break, but I forgot about my sound not working. Let me try here one little thing. Let me get rid of that. And that. Why is that not working? There it goes. Now then, just for the heck of it, let's throw this over here and see what happens. Nothing happens, just as I suspected. Okay, well, we will just continue to march. Let me get back over here to my list of stuff. By the way, did you guys know that yesterday was Bill of Rights Day? A lot of people don't know that, but December 15th is Bill of Rights Day. It was, it was FDR that designated December 16th to be Bill of Rights Day in 1940-something. And it's been that all the time, but you don't hear a lot about it. It's not a highly advertised event, or I don't know if you'd really call it a holiday, but anyway, it's not on the calendars, not on my calendars anyway. let's see. All right. So today is also the 75th anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge. You guys remember what was it? It was a, started with a P, as I recall. I'm not really sure. But it was some kind of a girdle commercial or something way back when, in the 60s, where they talked about it, something about you losing the Battle of the Bulge, and they were advertising this this girdle or something. Anyway, so it actually really is the 75th anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge. And that was a there's been a lot of movies about this, a lot of documentaries and stuff. And what a, you know, I like to consider myself being pretty tough, you know, for most part, but man, these guys had, this was tough. Now the Battle of the Bulge referred to the Bulge wasn't a land feature, a terrain feature of anything. It was actually a large area of, Allied lines that had spread out there I guess the German attack had created this bulge in the Allied lines is what it amounted to, best I can figure. Anyway, during the Battle of the Bulge, around 19,000 U.S. troops died. This ain't counting everybody else. This is just our guys. 19,000 died, 47,500 wounded, and over 23,000 were left missing. And I suppose there's probably still quite a few of those that we never did recover. So it is definitely appropriate to honor these sacrifices that were made at this time. There was a parade scheduled today in a little town called Diekirch in Luxembourg for members of the 1st Battalion, 109th Infantry Regiment, 28th Infantry Division. I think this is a recurring parade. The first one, I guess, was, scheduled on December 16th, 1944. And I can't find if this recurring thing is supposed to be today. Breeze through this story kind of fast. But anyway. In what would become a month-long battle, in which more than a million troops were participating, around 500,000 Americans, 600,000 Germans, about 50,000 British, each side lost more than 800 tanks. The German lost 1,000 aircraft. Can you imagine this being involved in something here that went on for an entire month, nonstop, losing that kind of, creating that kind of, that many casualties and that kind of equipment loss? I can't even fathom what it must have been like to be there and witness that. By December 23rd, the United States started a series of counterattacks, eventually throwing the Germans back to their starting lines. So, obviously, there's a lot more to that story. One of the things that, following the opening of the attack on December 16th, this guy in the 109th Regimental Combat Team and a bunch of other troops would fight in tough, brutally cold conditions to regain the initiative. By Christmas, it was clear the German attack had failed. After a hot turkey dinner on Christmas, this guy remembers after eating, I remember very well, everyone singing Silent Night with the Germans joining in with their own version. We were relieved Christmas night, but I will never forget how I spent Christmas Eve and Christmas Day of 1944. It's appropriate that we honor their sacrifices by dispatching a senior delegation to salute the brave troops that fought back. Okay. All right. Well, along with that, let's talk for a minute about some of the weapons that were used during that time. Obviously, the M1 Garand was the premier battle rifle for our side at the time. And what a weapon it was. That was one, and still is. You know, there's still a lot of them out there. And I believe there's been some replicas made since then. There was, what was it, a little over 5 million of them made, I think. Let's see. It says here somewhere There was, yeah, 5.4 million of the M1 Grands produced during the conflict just by Springfield and Winchester. So there was other ones. Who else? Who was the sewing machine company? Was it Singer that did, that made some? H&R made some. Remington made some. But it was adopted officially in 1937, 5.4 million just by Springfield and Winchester. And then there was the little M1 Grand. Now, the Grand was a great idea. They needed to change the, they needed to beef it up just a little bit. The ammunition was pretty anemic. I'm sure it was responsible for quite a few deaths and a lot of people getting, you know, taken out of the fight. But it was not really the most lethal weapon that we've ever created. However, that little compromise there was what you pay for have something that only weighs a little over 5 pounds with a 15 round capacity, very, small, dimensionally small, cartridges, rounds that go in it. And the little magazines that fit in it were not much bigger than a cigarette pack, actually not even as wide as a pack of cigarettes. You could carry a couple of them in a shirt pocket, so that was a plus. Handy to jump with, handy to run with, handy to, you know, throw over a shoulder or whatever while you're working with both hands, dealing with casualties or, you know, preparing explosives or doing mechanical tasks or cooking dinner as far as that goes, you know, whatever. So it was an extremely short, light, handy, reliable little weapon. It wasn't really the most accurate out there, definitely not the hardest hitting. But it was kind of a it was kind of the baby of the bunch. They did had some folding stocks on them. You can still get those. Actually, I know there's replicas of the M1 carbine out there that I'm not sure who makes them, but anyway, the 30 carbine cartridge in NATO jargon is 7.62 by 33 millimeter. Winchester, General Motors, National Postal Meter, jukebox maker Rockola, typewriter companies IBM and Underwood all made M1 carbines, 5 million of them overall. $45 a pop is what the M1 carbine costs. I can assure you that they do not cost that now. Even the replicas, much, much higher than 45 bucks. You know, the M1 Grand only cost, cost the government $85. So you know they were probably overcharging the government. They were probably only worth 50 bucks, but, the government paid $85 for them. The little carbine generally was used by, you know, officers and whatnot, but a lot of paratroopers and stuff, specialist type troops used them. It was funny that they created the M1 Grand and the M1 carbine, and then the later on the M1 tank, and there was a couple other things that were M1s. I don't remember what it was. The other one was the was it a Tommy gun? The auto ordnance Thompson? I believe it was also labeled the M1. So we had the Thompson, the carbine, and the Grand, all was M1s. The Thompson was a pretty heavy gun. It was as heavy, I think, or right at as heavy as the Grand. And shot the 45 ACP. You know, back in the day, it was, nobody wanted to walk up there. You know, the Thompson was the favorite gun of Al Capone and quite a few of the bad guys in his era there. 700 rounds a minute, nothing real romantic about the Thompson, except, you know, in Hollywood. So there was, I think Colt also had a version of the Thompson. Anyway, let's see here. There was, oh, you know what else they had was the BAR. I've got mixed feelings about the BAR. Yes, it did its job. It did it well. But 25 pounds, this was something that they bragged about, you know, not being, you know, shot 30-06, fully automatic, 500 or 600 rounds a minute, and 20-round magazines. You know, you put that thing on rock and roll, it would drain a 20-round magazine in about 2 seconds. But I'm sure it was a feared weapon in the trenches of World War II or whatever, but I can't imagine on full auto that this thing was that controlled. Of course, it weighed 25 pounds, so the hardest thing about it was probably just carrying it to and from where you're going. But that was one of several things that one of several contributions that John Browning made to the war effort there. There was, I believe, well, the 1911, obviously. But I think there was a couple of revolvers. No, maybe not. Anyway, everyone's familiar with the 1911. That was made its debut, actually, in World War One. But, or I guess probably a little bit before World War One. When did World War One start? 1913? I don't remember. I don't remember because I wasn't there. Anyway, Doc thinks I was there, but I wasn't there, actually. But up until just not too awful many years ago, 1911 remained our primary service handgun here for most everybody. I mean, there was, you know, your pilots and officer, you know, a lot of people carried Smith & Wesson Model 10, 38 Special, another one that was about that time. There was a bunch in those days. It was 1914. Thanks, Doc. I missed it by a year. But, hey, Dan finally wandered on in here. Glad you made it in. It's, dang, it's almost quitting time already. Start talking about guns. Yes, the grease gun did see action in World War II. It very much did. And, boy, you talk about something that, the grease gun was made, I guess the sole reason it was made is to have something that would work, whether you run over it with a tank, you know, filled it up with mud, whatever you do to that thing, it worked. You couldn't hit anything with it. Shot pretty slow. Bum, 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 bum. It wasn't very fast at all. But, one thing you could be sure of, if you were strong enough to pull the trigger on that thing, it would fire. I've shot them. They were still a few of them in service when I was in Germany. Not for very long. They were replaced with something in them. But anyway, you know, we've had a lot of changes. A lot of things happened since then. You know, with the armor. You know, we've gone from the Sherman tank to the Bradleys and the M1s I mean, there's another M1. There was the M1 and the M3, Bradley or M1 and M2? Bradley's. At any rate, things have changed. The U.S. Army suffered over 89,000 casualties in the six-week-long battle, making it one of the largest and bloodiest battles fought by our nation's servicemen. All right, one more deal here, and then we'll start trying to ease towards the door. This was, let me go check something here real quick. Oh, how about me? I've already got it done. I think I'm more efficient than I thought. Pizza delivery driver. 5 days ago, shot two teens trying to rob him in the Dallas area. Grand jury's going to decide if he faces any charges. Happened just after 10 p.m. Last Tuesday in northeast Dallas. A driver making a delivery to an apartment when he was approached by two 15-year-olds who were armed with guns. When they used to say years ago, not too many years ago, faced with two armed 15-year-olds is what they would have said. Then it was kind of up to anybody's guess whether they were armed with guns or knives or samurai swords or, you know, blow guns or pea shooters or what. Man. Police say the driver shot both teens, killing one, wounding the other. Delivery driver was not injured, while the injured suspect was taken to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries and is facing charges for aggravated robbery. Late-night pizza delivery. Let's see. That's Papa John's, too. Well, he's going to get fired, I'll bet you. No matter what else happened here. But he's alive. He's alive to get another job. Two teens approached the driver and demanded money at gunpoint. The driver, who police said he has his license to carry, pulled out his own gun, fired at the two teens, killing one, injuring the other. So this person lives two doors down from where it happened. He came outside of her building. The police combing the area. She said two detectives came to the door and told her the pizza delivery was for her apartment. She said she didn't order a pizza and wasn't home at the time. So they asked me where I'd been and did I order a pizza? Did I see anything? Well, she wasn't even there. So apparently what these guys did was picked an apparently random address and ordered the pizza and then ambushed the driver. And it didn't work out, so one of those things. Papa John said they're cooperating with law enforcement, wouldn't release details about what the driver said happened or if they allow employees to carry on the job. So that'll be interesting if we can ever find out whether or not he's allowed to keep working there or not. But you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. It's if you're going to carry, if you're going to work somewhere that doesn't allow that, then if you don't have a metal detector to go through, then you carry something that is as small and light and still be effective as you can. That doesn't mean a .22 Derringer. That's not an option at any point. You know, that may be something you throw in a boot as a last ditch backup when they've already run out of ammo with everything else. You've beat two or three of them to death with the empty gun, and a couple of them still get you down. You reach down in your boot and pull that Derringer out and stick it in one of them's ear and pull the trigger. But other than that, no, that's not what you choose to carry. Something like a 2-inch 38 revolver, a Glock 42 or 43, 26, something like that, something that's learn to dress around your gun, for crying out loud. Don't think that you have to look all sexy and you can't carry your gun because of how you're dressed. If you can't carry your gun because of how you're dressed, you're not dressed right. Okay, it's simple. That's just the way it is. If you're serious about self-defense and everything, there's a few things that you should do. And number one, like I just said, dress around your gun. Find a comfortable way to carry it, and then find a way to dress around that. Carry something big enough to do the job, and keep your mouth shut. It needs to be, you need to dress modestly and loose enough, modestly enough and loose enough that you can hide the gun. You know, it's pretty hard to hide something in, what do they call those things? Oh, hell, I can't even think of that stretchy stuff. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Do what? Yeah, that wasn't the word I was looking for, but leggings, you know, whatever. But spandex is what I'm thinking of. If you can't hide your gun and keep it completely, you know, out of sight of prying eyes, then you need to not dress that way. It's just the way it is. And then you will always have that gun. The only thing I would say, if the only thing I would say is, what was I going to say before Doc put that up here and cracked me up? Oh, I wouldn't, if I worked somewhere where it was a felony, like say the post office or something like that, then yeah, either get another job or live with the consequences if something happens. But I would not risk that. Would I risk getting fired? Absolutely. Because I am exceedingly good at hiding a gun and keeping it, where it's comfortable and not having to adjust it and mess with it while people are around. And, in that regard, I absolutely would risk my job because I'm not too worried about it. I will not risk a felony over it though. I just have to change jobs. Okay, that's enough blathering and blabbering and carrying on here. So we're just going to stop right now. Forget that. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to go ahead and close here. And I'm going to try to get this sound out. There will be a recording. The recording appears to be working. I'm going to double check it after I get done here. And make sure I also have some other news for you on Wednesday that I'm anxious to share. Well, part of it I'm anxious and part of it I'm very sorry to have to share, but anyway, it'll be a good show. But recording should be on, podcast should be loaded very soon, and we'll get back to our normal routine here now that I've discovered the little glitch that happened here with my recording program here. Okay, enough. I'm out of here. Talk to y'all Wednesday. Thanks for joining me. Well, I can't even play my closing thing, so what I'm going to do is 1, 2, 3, push this button.